97.5 The Fanatic.
The big dog hunt. Hello again, everybody. Joe Stazak in the house till 6:45 tonight. That's when Flyers hockey takes over the airwaves. We're broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast Beyond Fast. Did I get that right, Josh Rabick? Beyond Fast. Okay, Josh Rabick doing a double behind the glass today, producing me. Haven't been here in a few days, so I'm happy to be back in the chair with the mic in front of me. I know a lot of folks are talking Sixers basketball, and we should be talking Sixers basketball. Flyers don't really heat up until, you know, April, when April rolls around. Although I do want to talk about a guy playing in the game tonight, Flyers and Capitals, after me, who is on a record-setting pace, like a historic record-setting pace, and we'll get to him in a little bit. Sixers are a mess. Bottom line, Sixers are a mess. Nice win last night. That's fine. Beat the Grizz. Grizzlies at home. Whatever. You know, nothing to get too excited about. Their home record is silly. 22-2. That's ridiculous. And the road record is horrendous. So, it's hard to know what to do with this team. 9-19 on the road. Again, unstoppable at home. 22-2. And the big guy is always hurt. Joel Embiid. He left the game with neck stiffness last night. Okay. That's fine. He's got that finger injury. He hasn't played all that well lately. Ben Simmons, insubordinate, still won't shoot the basketball. And he's not held accountable for it. Josh Richardson's been here 9 minutes. He's holding players-only meetings. Al Horford looks old and slow, hasn't played well this year. I talked last Sunday at length. Did a lot of Super Bowl coverage because I was the pregame show, but threw some Sixers in. The word soft came up about 69 times. All right, I called them soft. I think they're soft. They look soft. They play soft. And, oh, what happened the following day, Monday, when they lose to the Heat? Ben Simmons comes out after the game and says, we're soft. We're soft. Especially on the road, we're soft. Ben Simmons said that about his own team. We play soft. They do play soft. People are still talking. Drives me crazy. People are still talking, well, you know, if we get to the conference finals this year, it'll be a step in the right direction. Yeah, it'll also be a miracle if they get to the conference finals this year. Getting out of the first round will be appropriate at this time. I mean, they're a mess. I don't care about last night's game. Okay, nice. 119-107. Murray Korkmaz. How about him? 34 points last night. That was fun to watch. 7 of 9 from three. Real fun to watch. Al Horford, 10 points. Tobias Harris. Another one that drives me nuts. Getting paid more than Kawhi. And he's basically, I would call him a good player. Gets paid more than Kawhi Leonard. Good player. They had to give him a max contract. That's where you're doling out your money. I understand the logistics and how it went down. I get all that. Jimmy wasn't around. He was the one that I believe everyone would have rather have had stayed here in Philly. But he took off, doing a phenomenal job in Miami, as is Pat Riley, putting that team back together. My goodness gracious. Very impressive. Maybe Jimmy knew what he was doing. Now he's down there hanging in South Beach. He's the alpha dog on that team. One thing the Sixers don't have, well, they don't have a lot of things, and alpha dog is one of them. Who's the leader of the team? Who's the leader? Like, And that's not a rhetorical question. Who is the leader of the team? I don't know. I don't think anybody, really. Al Horford's like, you know, the veteran, cagey veteran who's been around for a while, but he's only been here 6 minutes. Josh Richardson, 9 minutes. Those two guys are the ones calling out people. Those two guys who just got here are calling out folks, calling for players-only meetings. Those two. One played for the Celtics last year, one played for the Heat. Now they're the leaders in the locker room. Yeah, I know Ben and Joel, they're babies. They're young. What, 23 and 25, respectively, Simmons and Embiid. But usually the best player is the leader of the team. Usually. Not always. And he leads by example. You want to follow what he does. He's the leader. He scores the big goal. He drops the big three. Throws the perfect pass when it's needed. He's the leader of the team. So I guess we go Joel Embiid there. He's the leader. Almost by default. Joel Embiid is the leader of this team. Can't stay on the court. Out of shape half the time. Does stupid things on social media. Says dumb things in press conferences. Eats too much. And did I mention always hurt? Yeah, Shaq and Charles were right on the money. He's not nearly as good as he could be. He doesn't have that dog in him. He doesn't have that big dog in him. Speaking of the big dog, Sixers did make a small move. They went out and got Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III. His dad was called the big dog, Glenn Robinson, when he played for Purdue. Played here for a little bit. So we're going to get into a lot of things today. And he couldn't be around later in the afternoon. I usually bring him in about an hour, hour and a half in. But he's going to set the table today for us. He's Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Steven, what is up?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you, as always.
You too, pal. Let's start. I haven't been on in a few days, and we haven't done anything. The last time we were on, we were previewing the Super Bowl. I thought, and I gave out the Niners by 10, and you gave out the Chiefs in a comeback win. I was right until 7 minutes left, and when my team collapsed. What did you think of the game? I mean, was it more of a collapse, or was it more of, Patrick Mahomes and company just, you know, seizing the game and making it work when it counted?
Well, I was reading some analytics stuff right before the Super Bowl, and apparently later in the game, despite having a great pass rush, they seemed to get tired, the 49ers, towards the end. But I think it was that coupled with the magic of Mahomes. You know the reason they picked KC. They had the best player by far.
Right, sure.
And for three quarters and, what, 6 minutes or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Everybody's putting in that tape to see if they can somehow stop Mahomes next year. But once he got it going, they really couldn't stop him. So I think it was a combination of their defense getting tired and Mahomes being Mahomes, coupled with the fact that the Kansas City defense, which did get better towards the last 5-6 games of the season into the playoffs. They stopped Derrick Henry. They did a pretty good job against the run, but at the end they got those two big stops. And I'll go to Chris Jones, who we spoke about at lunch before the game, because he batted down three passes, two, in that final chance that they had, or batted down one, got a pinky on another, a finger on another. So I think it was just they had the best player. And, you know, the Patriots did the same thing to him, shut him out that one half, and then he scored, you know, 30 in the second half
last year
or whatever. And you know, I it was all about Patrick Mahomes to me.
I agree. I think he looked, he didn't look Patrick Mahomes like for most of the game.
Correct.
Even when guys were open, he was thrown a little behind, yep. a little above. He just didn't seem like, and that's fine. He's in his third year. He's really started for only 2 years. He's a kid still. You got to give him a little slack. But then, we're 7 minutes left. And I love this story because, and I think I told you on our podcast, I know guys are looking at the scoreboard and the clock and thinking we're done. And But they all, in the post-game press conference, if they win, they say, no, we were confident the whole time. We knew we had them. We stuck together. Well, Tyreek Hill comes out and says, man, I thought we were sunk. 7 minutes left, down 10. And he said, Patrick Mahomes, he said, Mahomes comes up to me and says, hey, 10, lift your head. I need you, man. We're going to be all right. And Tyreek Hill said he's thinking, are you tripping? We're down 10 points. We're 7 minutes left. And then, of course, the game-changing play, in my opinion, was the 44-yard pass to Tyreek Hill that kind of got the ball rolling. And then Mahomes turned into Mahomes again. And, you know, the rest was history. I just want to give a shout-out to Steve Spagnuolo, one of our friends here at 97.5 The Fanatic, did a phenomenal job in his first year, lowering that points per game total about five or six. And, You could get away with the argument, because the defense gave up 21 points in the last 7 minutes, but the offense kind of choked too. They did nothing and they had opportunities to come back and, you know, answer what Casey did, and they just didn't do it. And I'll give credit to Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid finally got his ring. I've made peace with Andy and I'm happy for him and all that good stuff. Steve, before I move on to Sixers, you got to tell people what your record has been in the playoffs. Steve gives out games. We both give out games, but you want to take his games. Go ahead.
Well, this year on that first weekend, I was 1-3. I picked the Eagles because I thought they would win, and they probably would have, in my opinion, if Carson Wentz didn't get hurt. I picked the Patriots almost on the, you know, autopilot, even though I thought obviously the Titans had a chance. But after that, I was 7-0 the rest of the way. So 8-3 this year on the air, 9-2 last year on the air, 8-3 the year before when the Eagles won it all on the air. And that's what we live for, as you know. We live for the playoffs.
Yeah, we certainly do. You come up big when the playoffs come around, man. You are, you're Mr. February. All right, brother, let's talk a little Sixers. I don't care about the win last night. They're dominant at home. But I think the team's a mess. I think, you know, Embiid's always hurt. They don't really have a leader. The two guys that are trying to be the leaders have been here for like 11 minutes combined. Yeah. Brett Brown doesn't enforce like the game plan. He doesn't have the discipline, I think, he needs to kind of get this team going. And they don't have an alpha dog. And now they've picked up a couple guys. They're going to help the shooting a little bit, but nothing to write home about. And I don't know how you solve the problem on the road. To me, it looks like a lack of heart on the road.
Well, it's certainly a lack of intensity, and it's hard to believe these guys don't want to win, but it certainly to me is a lack of intensity. And then when you look over at the Heat, now look, maybe you're right, Jimmy Butler maybe was onto something. I wonder if Jimmy Butler looked at the 76ers and thought they just don't have enough to get over the top, even though they have tremendous talent. But while, you know, frankly, while the Sixers get who they got, not a whole lot, Miami goes out and they get Andre Iguodala, who has come down a little bit, but you know his background, MVP in the 2015 finals, been on winning teams forever. He steps in the door. That's going to be a big up for them. And Jay Crowder, who's kind of an underrated defender. You know, you and I always talk about defense, but it doesn't seem to matter to most people or most teams. But that's how you're going to win. So the notion that Philly can catch these guys and or beat them the way it is now, it looks very grim, because I thought Miami, you know, Pat Riley, they were talking about him before. He might be the executive of the year. I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time, because he took the Showtime Lakers to the rugby scrum Knicks and changed the way basketball was played in the NBA.
Wow.
And then won that other championship with Miami, although I don't like what he did to Van Gundy. But what they're doing down in Miami is pretty incredible, and obviously they're one of the teams ahead of the Sixers. They haven't replaced Butler, obviously. And frankly, they haven't replaced J.J. Redick, who now is going to get some wins now that Zion Williamson is down there in New Orleans. So I think it's intensity more than heart. But when you saw them lose to Atlanta on the road, you're like, oh, my goodness, this isn't going to be very good. And I think we talked about the stat yesterday. Against teams that are 500 or above, When the Sixers go on the road to play those teams, they're 1-13.
Yeah.
And that's not reversible next week, and it's not reversible, nothing against Glenn Robinson III or Burks. I mean, that's not going to reverse it either. I think they need more intensity. I don't know if Brett Brown is the coach to give it to them. He's taken them to a level from, oblivion, if you will, to a level the last couple of years. But I think at some point they look at the coach and say, can he get us over the hump any more than this? And the answer right now, frankly, appears to be no. They're worse than last year, obviously. Certainly
yeah.
on the road. You can tell me they have a great home record. And that's great if you have a home field advantage in every series, and they may not have it in any series.
1-13 against teams over 500. To me, that's telling. To me, that tells me this team, listen, it boils down to this. They need better players. They need more talent. I mean, it's simple. We don't have to really get into the DNA and analyze what's going on. They need better players, and that's not going to happen now from here on out, at least this year. And so what does that tell you about the process? It's been 6 or 7 years. This is it. This is the team they're laying out. They got rid of three second round picks that were acquired with the process, but we're sixth place in the Eastern Conference. I mean, should we still give it a little bit of time?
Well, the process got you two great players, but nowadays, in the old days of Pippen and Jordan, for example, you got Shaq and Kobe. I don't know if it's just two now. You might need three. Although you can tell me the Lakers with the best record have two, depending on what you think of some other players. But it really is those players around you, a J.J. Redick to knock down threes all the time, a Jimmy Butler to be the finisher. I wouldn't call those guys superstars. Maybe Jimmy Butler you can make a case for, not J.J. Redick, but they need what you just said. They need better players and more of them. I still think those two pieces, when you look at the process, they got those two guys. Those two guys are superstars.
Yeah.
If they play like this the rest of their career, even if they don't improve, some people have said, oh, they haven't improved. I'm not sure what that means. To you and me, it means Simmons should be able to take a 12 or 15-foot jump shot, not a three-pointer.
Right.
And maybe Embiid could get in better shape or be healthy. But in terms of their talent level, they're Hall of Fame talents already. That doesn't mean they're going to make the Hall of Fame. See, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, for example. But and of course, they had problems that these guys don't have. But what I mean is they have the bedrock two guys, but that doesn't mean you're going to make the NBA Finals even. You need more really good players. And if you look at Golden State, when they get healthy next year with a top draft pick, they're going to have a big three, maybe a big four again.
Incredible.
Everyone forgets that Thompson, Curry, and Draymond Green won a title before Durant showed up. So throw in another first-round draft pick, maybe they get more out of Wiggins. But you need a lot more, I guess is what I'm saying, than two incredible players.
No, I totally agree. And it's unfortunate because there were high expectations for this team the last 2 years. It's going to take more time, as simple as that. Now, before I let you go, brother, I'm doing this because later in the show, I'm going to talk a little Black Sox of 1919. I'm going to talk a little Joe Jackson, Pete Rose. We're talking about cheating, man. We're talking about cheating. A.J. Hinch fired from the Astros after it came out that they were stealing signs electronically. And he had an interview this week with the MLB Network. What'd you think of it?
I thought he's campaigning for his next job already. I mean, I take full responsibility. I take full responsibility. I take full responsibility. And this is the story. So, for example, Verducci asked him, do you think your World Series victory in 2017 was tainted? Not should it be vacated, Joe, like I think, and maybe you think.
Yeah.
But was it tainted? And this guy can't even say it was tainted. He gave like a 2 or 3 minute answer and said, oh, I really don't know. It's up for other people to decide. I really don't know. And at the end, the problem with great baseball writers interviewing is at the end, he should have just said, you didn't answer the question.
Right, sure.
Was it tainted? Yes or no? And even if he says, I don't know, at least you put him on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I thought it was terrible. This guy goes and he breaks the monitor in the dugout that the players had installed so they could cheat. He doesn't break it once, he breaks it twice, and he's talking about leadership. You think these players respected him? He breaks the TV on the monitor in the dugout two times, and what'd they do? They went and got a third one.
Unbelievable.
So I think the underlying thing or the overbearing thing for me is deep down he knew this was helping them win. So he never came out by his own admission and said, cut this out. And then all the Astros players, once they got immunity, said, oh, if the manager had told us not to, we wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. He broke the monitor in front of you guys twice. So it's really, I don't know. It just, look, people are giving him credit for taking ownership of it, and good for him for taking ownership of it. But it was really kind of, I'm protecting my players. Why? Because I want to get another job. It's totally my fault. Why? Because I want to get another job. And I just thought it was a little bit phony for me. This guy is one of the great cheaters of all time. And whatever you think of Pete Rose, he's got an interesting case.
Yes, it does.
In my mind.
Yep. I'm going to get into that a little later on in the show, brother. Certainly a lack of institutional control, if I can use that phrase.
Good one, NCAA.
Thank you. Yeah, right? unbelievable. But I agree with everything you said on the interview, and he is campy. Kicked off his campaign for the next job, and he'll probably get one. I just think, you know, everybody who's ever played baseball, except for maybe two guys, have gotten second chances. And
good one. Yep.
Pete has not, but everyone else gets second chances. So I think it's about time for Pete to get in the Hall of Fame. And you're right, he does have a very good case. Appreciate it, man. Great stuff as usual. You can listen to our podcast. It's on my Facebook page. And Steve is the sports editor of WestchesterCountyPost.com. He also has a Facebook group page, Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis. You got to check it out. It's fantastic stuff. Steven, got to run, man. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, pal. Steve Callis, Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. He gets a lot in a few minutes. I wanted to bring up the cheating situation because, you know, there's a local tie. Pete played for the Phillies and made that catch after Bob Boone dropped the ball, popped out of his glove. And that's not all he did. He did plenty of things. He broke Stan Musial's record for National League hits. I was actually at that game. And he's the all-time hits leader, all-time at bats, you know, all-time a lot of things. And I think it's time. I think it's time to let Pete in. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit, though. ESPN did a real nice backstory. It's kind of like a 30 and 30. It was an hour piece, and it went, you know, kind of delved into what's going on today and where they are in that process. So we'll get into that a little later. We're talking Sixers basketball, though. Can't hang in there. We have some open phone lines, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I think the Sixers are a mess, and I think it's time for a change at the top. I'm Joe Stazak. I'm here till 645 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we are back. 3:28 is the time here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve Callis was on the previous side setting the table today. We talked about doing that. We had three subjects we wanted to hit. One, I look back at the Super Bowl. I don't know how much traction that'll get, but I haven't talked about it yet, and I think I need to talk about it. And then we have the Sixers. They're a mess. They need better players. They need a different coach. They need a leader in the locker room. They need a lot of things, and I think we really overvalued this team coming into the year. I thought they'd be worse than last year when Jimmy Butler left, but people were like, oh, Horford, he's going to, you know, spell Embiid and blah, blah, blah. Josh Richardson's not a bad player. They're not as good as they were last year, let's face it. All right. And they weren't great last year. They were okay. They had the, you know, the big four or five, you know, the Joe Blanton rule. I think they're in trouble despite the 119 to 107 win last night, whatever it was. The best thing that came out of last night's game was Furkan Korkmaz, you know, dropping 34. But so we'll talk about that a little bit, too. And then I want to talk about the cheating scandal. Not necessarily the Astros and the Red Sox, but Pete Rose. And I know he comes up periodically. He petitioned the Major League Baseball this week to reinstate him once again. And basically his argument is that his punishment, which was a lifetime ban, it's been 30 and a half years so far, it's a disproportionate punishment relative to other punishments imposed for serious offenses that also undermined the integrity of the game. I think he's got a good case, you know. Maybe he won't get in because he's not really a likable guy, but I think he's got a pretty good case. The Astros, the Red Sox, setting up cameras, banging on trash cans. I mean, really? And then you had the steroid era. I don't come down that hard on the steroid era because I loved it. I thought it was great. I don't care if the guys were glowing in the dark. I love seeing 700-foot home runs. But I get it. I get it. It's against the rules. It's against the law, too. So you can consider that cheating. And we know who they were. We know who they were. Because most of them deny it, which is ridiculous. You sound stupid. But we know who the culprits were for the most part. I think he's got a good case. I do. Shoeless Joe, I think he's got a good case, too. I mean, he's dead. But he got banned after the White Sox, Black Sox, whatever you want to call them, dumped the series back in 1919. And eight of them were tried for, you know, violation of a confidence game. They were acquitted by a jury, but then Commissioner Kennesaw, who was just hired, I think he got a lifetime contract, actually, came out and said anyone that, you know, participates, takes money, blah, 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 does this or that, or is aware of the situation in the same room as the talks that are going on or the exchange of the money and doesn't report it will also be banned for life. And he was. Now, he maintains that he didn't tank at all. He played as hard as he always does. But interestingly enough, he did hit 375 in the series and hit the only home run in the series. The Black Sox lost 5-3. It was the best of nine back then. I dug a little deeper into that, and he came up small with opportunities to drive in some runs. He left a lot of runners in scoring position, and that one home run he hit, was a solo shot, and it was kind of in garbage time. So, you know, I don't know. 375 is 375 to me. So, I think both of them should be in the Hall of Fame. But a question I have today, though, because, and I mentioned this with Steve, everyone gets a second chance around here. Everybody gets a second chance. Josh Gordon's got like nine chances. And Pete was not allotted a chance, a second chance. And I want to throw this out because I think it's interesting how people want to come down on this guy harder than this guy. And this guy's more of a disgrace than this guy. This guy should never be allowed to play again. Who do you think out there does not deserve a second chance, other than Pete Rose? Who out there, player, manager, executive, GM, whatever, does not deserve a second chance? Because I know when the stories happen, people were like, no, he's done for life, you know, get him out of the game, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 6 weeks later, he's playing. Or another team signing them. So we are a country of second chances, unless you're Pete Rose. So I want to throw that question out there because, you know, it's a Philly tie. He was the piece that got the Phillies over the hump. Remember, they had lost three straight NLCSs, one to the Reds and two to the Dodgers, and then the Pirates won the series in 79. Phillies come back, get Pete Rose, and, you know, Charlie Hustle, man. He was one of the great players of all time. Great leader, smart, obviously could hit. And he got him over the hump. And I don't know if people remember that. I mean, I know he goes down as being an all-time Cincinnati Red, but he had a cup of coffee here and got himself a ring. Of course, the most memorable part of that series was one out in the ninth inning, and Bob Boone is trying to catch a foul ball, and it pops out of his glove, and Pete's right there to snatch it to give the Phillies two outs. And, of course, Tug McGraw struck out Willie Wilson, the next batter, and that was it. Phillies won the World Series. But it was called Backstory, Banned for Life on ESPN. It's been on for maybe a week or two. I saw it today. If you want to get a real good inside look at the details of everything that's gone down and Rule 21, the Pete Rose Rule, there's all kinds of fascinating things that have come out of that situation. And it's got a lot of different elements to it. I thought it was cool. It also has a Field of Dreams kind of slant to it, because I believe, if I heard this right, in August, the Yankees and the White Sox will be playing a game. They're going to build that field again where they shot the field in wherever they shot. I think it's in South Carolina. But they're playing a game at the Field of Dreams in August. It's going to be the Yankees and the White Sox. So it was a cool piece. Try to catch it if you can. And give me a call, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Jim in Washington Township. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
What's up, Joe? Great show.
Thanks, buddy. How you doing?
All right. Now, I got a question for you, because I've been thinking about this the last week. I don't think Klentak is anything special, and I think he's the reason why the Phil's farm system is what it is.
Okay.
Now, listen, they had high draft picks. We purposely didn't sign players and were bad for a few years to build up the farm system. Now we got, what do we got, three guys?
It's awful. Yeah, and we're not even sure if they can play. It's bad.
Exactly. And now, if you would have done it right, we would have had maybe guys to bring up. And, you know, and now they're saying that they don't want to get rid of Spencer Howard for Chris Bryant and all this nonsense. My question to you is, you say we missed the playoffs. I think that Vegas is probably right. It's about 85 games, win-loss. Would you bring in the Astros GM? The one that just got fired.
Yeah, A.J. Hinch. It's a good question, actually. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if he was anything special, to be honest. That team was loaded, talent-wise. Loaded. Should have won another one this year.
Not the manager, the GM.
Oh, the GM. I'm sorry. In a heartbeat.
Exactly.
In a heartbeat.
Look at that. They're loaded, and they just keep bringing guys up.
Keep bringing guys up. It's incredible. It's a lot of fun watching them. I don't know if that cheating thing kind of died as the players were like, you know, this isn't really helping us, so we don't need to do it anymore after a while. But they are so loaded talent-wise. I thought they'd win it this year. I picked them to win it this year. I didn't know the, you know, Nationals would come out of nowhere and snatch one. But, yes, absolutely. I'm spacing
aren't
on his
they,
name.
You know,
you're
aren't
right.
They what we want to be?
Yes.
You want a stacked farm system, and you have money to spend the big in – bring in big-time free agents.
I agree.
So I got a guy who I would never I would never give a second chance to. Is I love his commentating. I think he's extremely smart for baseball knowledge, but I wouldn't give A-Rod a sniff of the Hall of Fame. The other guys, Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, they were all suspected. Now, everybody, public opinion says that they did steroids.
Sure.
But A-Rod admitted first time, or I'm sorry, got caught the first time, admitted the second time. So you're a repeat offender? Come on, man. I don't think he deserves to sniff. And guys like Schilling are held out because of public opinion, not cheating. I wouldn't give A-Rod a sniff at all.
You would not? Do you have a personal bias against him?
No, I think he's, I think he's a stud. I think I enjoy listening to
him. He's great on the air. He's great. Yeah,
absolutely. But as far as being honored with the Baseball Hall of Fame, no way. No way.
Jimmy, that was a great call, man. You have a great day. Appreciate that stuff. Yeah, I would hire the GM of the Astros in a heartbeat. And A-Rod, what did he get, three chances? There was a guy named Steve Howe, a long time ago, pitched for the Yankees, had a drug problem. He was kind of the Josh Gordon of that that era. He got seven chances. They gave him seven chances to come back and play. And, think about that. It's like Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon can't play three straight games without getting kicked out of the league. And then he applies for reinstatement. They put him in, they welcome him back. Someone signs him. Maybe he gets released. Someone else signs him. And then he gets caught doing something stupid and he's out. It happens every year. It happens every year. It's like, what are we doing with Josh Gordon? But anyway, Steve Howe, look him up. They gave him seven chances. I'm okay giving the steroid boys another chance. I know Jim was talking about a third chance. I still would. I would. I don't think it's a ban for life violation. I really don't. I believe dumping a World Series or betting on your own team, I'm okay with a lifetime ban for that. By the way, if you bet, if you're the manager and you bet on baseball and your team to win, you're only suspended for a year. It's under Rule 21. You're only suspended for a year. But if you get caught betting on your team, but Pete, I mean, it was illegal anyway, and he accepted the agreement. And I think he regrets it, obviously, 30 and a half years out and still won't let him in the Hall of Fame. So we'll get into that a little more on the other side. We'll talk some more Sixers. If you want to talk Super Bowl, we'll look back a little bit. My team collapsed. As they do from time to time. I didn't really care who would win the game. I thought Frisco was the better team, but it's a 60-minute game. My dad always tells me. And Kansas City needed all 60 minutes, and they are the champions, and so is Andy Reid. We're coming back after this. I'm Joe Stajak, 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stajak in the house till a little before 7 o'clock. Flyers at the Caps. Alex Ovechkin, two more goals, and he is in the 700 club. The big question is, can he catch Wayne Gretzky? 894 goals. There's an article on ESPN, the homepage, that talks about Alex Ovechkin, and is he the greatest goal scorer of all time? Well, let me think about that. He's got 698, and there are seven players in front of him. So how is he the greatest goal scorer of all time right now? I know what they're saying. I get it. I get it. His shot is almost unstoppable, especially when he sits there at the left point on a power play. And he's only 34 years old. He needs six more seasons of 30 goals per season to catch Wayne, to catch Gretzky. But again, greatest team, greatest player in team sports history, not even close, Wayne Gretzky. 894 goals, he got like 2,000 assists. He's got more assists than the next guy has points. It wasn't even close. You know, we watch Ovechkin and we think he's, you know, the bomb. He's just, you know, every year 40, 50 goals. But I mean, Gretz accumulated almost 900 goals. He's in a class by himself. But Ovi has a chance to catch him. And I do like him. He was drafted the year after Sidney Crosby. And they had the second pick the next year. They took the big Russian. Space on a dough. Gino. Yeah, thank you, Geno Malkin. But they almost had a chance to take Alex Ovechkin the following year after Sidney Crosby. That would have been quite the tandem, quite the tandem. Couldn't go wrong with either of those guys, especially when you put them together. This just in, XFL, first quarter, is it? Maybe second quarter, the Seattle draft. Oh, start of the third quarter, the DC Defenders up on the Seattle Dragons, 19-13. Anybody watching? You know, I talk about lamenting the 7 months that we have to wait until Labor Day to watch real football again.
You know what I mean? I'm happy.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't know the guy. I mean, I'll watch it for kicks. My man Josh Rabick behind the glass is, has one eye on it. He says it's moving a lot faster than the NFL game. So they've accomplished that, it looks like, in the early going at least. But I might throw it on for kicks. I mean, there's some players that didn't quite stick in the NFL. They're out there, some former Eagles. So I might give it a whirl, but some, I doubt I would get into it. I doubt I would get into it like we do for the National Football League. Although back in the day, I was really into the USFL and the Stars and Jim Mora. I was locked and loaded on that team. And they were great, too. They lost the championship their first year. And then I think they moved to Baltimore and they won a championship down there. But Jim Mora, playoffs, won a championship with the Stars. Good stuff. All right, let's go to Mike in King of Prussia here on 97.5 The Fan. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you doing today?
How are you, bud?
Hey, so here's my thing. I think, first of all, I think MLB is too pretentious, and they're like, they care too much about records and the Hall of Fame. They think they're still the number one sport in the country, and they're not. At this point, they should be letting their players jack up on HGH, steroids, and whatever, and just hit dingers and do whatever they can and let them cheat. Because, honestly, baseball is a sport that's third or fourth in this country of the pro sports. So I don't care. I want to see guys do, like, insane things. I don't care about, like, any kind of integrity of the game or anything like that. I know it sounds, like, awful, but I just want to see how high you can jump, how fast you can run, what you can do. And I don't care about, like, this integrity of the game thing that they're, like, they stick to and like so cravenly.
You know what's crazy, Mike? Back in the day, they did everything they could to distance themselves from gambling, and now it runs the show. Now they embrace it. It has turned, you know, completely around, and gambling runs Major League Baseball just like it does the NFL, and they've embraced it. Now it's legal, and they're all into it.
Let me say this about the Sixers: I find this team so unlikable. I don't like anybody on this team. Embiid frustrates me. He's got all this talent, but he's fat and out of shape. He can't stay on the court. Ben is petulant, as they call him. He's a spoiled brat from and Ben and Joel are both spoiled brats that, like, never faced any adversity, and everything's just been handed to him. So I don't find this team likable. It's hard to even root for him, and I kind of want them to get knocked out in the first round just so they can get punched in the face and realize they're not superstars, and they haven't earned anything yet.
What do you think they need?
They need to, like, first of all, Ben Simmons should have never made an All-Star team. That only just inflates his already inflated ego. And they need to be knocked down a peg or two. They need to realize they're not as good as they think they are. Like, they have big flaws. Joel's not going to last, like, more than three or four more years in this league. And Ben's not the superstar he thinks he is, because he doesn't refine his game and get better. And athleticism is going to only last for so long until you have to start playing as a smart player. Like, there's so many flaws, and they're so petulant about it. I can't even root for this team.
They are incredibly flawed. Incredibly flawed.
And this is what 8 years of the process has brought us. Two petulant, spoiled brats and a team that's never going to win a title.
It is a shame. It is a shame. Michael, I appreciate it, man. Good call as usual. Where the process has been like 8 years, and this is the product currently, it's a no-go. And I was all into the process. I was cool with it. I don't mind tanking for 3 years if it's going to allow me to become, you know, a lot better at the end of 3 years. But they whiffed on some picks. You know, Markelle Fultz, Jahlil Okafor. I mean, they had opportunities to makes this team even better than it is. They did land Joel Embiid. He's flawed. They landed Ben Simmons, who I love, but can certainly get better and add another asset or element to his game, but for some reason just doesn't. And that, to me, that falls on the coach as well. That was supposed to be the plan this year. And we'll execute the plan, coach. You're listening to him? You're listening to your player? Draw up plays where Ben Simmons has to take either mid-range shots or three-pointers. Force him to do that. He worked out all summer. Again, we saw he was the one tweeting out in the videos. He could shoot. I know it's a highlight reel, but you know that just drives me nuts. And he's awesome. Listen, he's awesome. He's an elite player. The way he gets to the rim as fast as he does, he's improved his touch around the rim. He's incredible. But everyone knows he's going to drive the basket. No one's coming out on him for fear of him shooting. If they did, you know, you can go around them. I mean, he does a pretty good job anyway at the rim. But it's just disappointing. The whole team, to me, is disappointing. And I know there were expectations at the beginning of the year that this team was going to take the next step. I think they're taking a big step backwards, and it is a shame. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak here till 6:45 tonight. Stick around, folks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.